Welcome to Reality of the Rose with your host, Natalie Sprink.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 107 of Reality of the Rose. I'm your host, Natalie Sprink. Well, I am by myself today, and as you can tell, I'm also very late this week in getting this episode out. That is because Allie was in town. She had a couple friends here. We also had another out-of-town guest this week. And Allie left today, and actually Tyler left today. And so, I don't know, it was just a week about sort of like spending time with everyone in the evenings. And there just was not simply time to record and watch. So I am here now, and it's Friday morning. And so it's like 4 days late, but better late than never. Don't they say that? So I was actually really good and impressed with myself because I was not spoiled all this week. I have a separate Reality of the Rose Instagram account than my personal account. So even though I follow a few a few Instagram accounts on my personal, I mostly follow on my Reality of the Rose. So I did not go on that this week, and therefore I was not spoiled. So I did not know who went home tonight. Tonight. That was like, whatever, no spoiler. But anyway, we're going to get into it. You know, I would say, first I want to cover a little piece of Bachelor tea. In my opinion, sort of big news and actually very shocking news in my opinion. So I guess it was yesterday. Yesterday, Gabby Windy, did I say that right? Who was on the double bachelorette season with Rachel, who went, got engaged to Eric and then went on Dancing with the Stars, soon after, broke up with Eric. And now is dating a girl. So yeah, I was shocked. I just did not expect that. I did not expect that this soon after her season. I mean, I guess it's been a year probably, but just not what I expected. Gave no indication to that. But I guess it seems to be the trend. So I'm gonna just embrace it and, you know, like support whatever makes you happy, right? So anyway, I just was shocked. I really was. I would not have guessed this. I don't know how you would, but I guess she came out on her with this news and pictures and everything, obviously on her Instagram. And then she also posted, she actually came, I guess, initially out with it on The View and then posted that interview on her Instagram. So if you have any interest in seeing that, if you haven't already, you can go watch that on her feed. So yeah, I guess she kept it private for a while, and she said that she had whisperings of like this type of feeling for a while, but just now started listening to them is how she said it. My just big thing is like, it was just a year ago that she went on a dating show to date a bunch of men. And so if you even had whisperings of that and you really were in it for like the quote unquote right reasons, then I feel like it's not very authentic to go on the show. You know, Colton came out and that was, but that was several years later, right? You know, there's other examples of it, but I don't know. That's the only thing that I just think is odd, that if you felt even a little bit like that could be your path, then why bother going on a national dating show and wasting everybody's time, I guess, basically. But, you know, whatever. It's TV. It's a show. She got a bunch of Instagram followers, got to go on Dancing with the Stars, finished runner-up. So it worked to her advantage, I suppose. But anyway, that was the big news this week in Bachelor Nation. So anyway, then on to this episode. You know, this is, I believe, my least favorite episode in all seasons is Hometowns, because unless something super dramatic happens during one of the hometowns, it's just a bit anticlimactic because of sort of just, it seems like all the hometowns end up the same. You know, you might have a hometown here or there where you have the parents that initially act like they're questioning everything. And then they, you know, by the end of the evening, they love, you know, whoever it is that's come to be with their son or daughter. And it's just a whole, like, just kind of predictable. They did tonight what they do a lot of times, and it's where they're trying to throw you off of something. And they think they're accomplishing it and throwing you off, but it's pretty predictable because you can feel when they're throwing you off, you know, it's probably not actually going to happen. So, you know, it's no spoiler to you because I'm already late, but you know, they made it seem like she was going to send Joey home. Totally made it seem like she was going to send Joey home, but she didn't. As we know, she sent Aaron B home. So that was sort of their little twist in it. I also felt like they did very well with their preview reel, making it seem like she was going to be crying and distraught a big chunk of the show about this decision or about something that happens. When in actuality, they probably showed us like actual real time footage of what we were going to see, because she didn't really seem all that upset in the end. I'm going backwards, I guess. She didn't seem to me that, I mean, she cried, but let's just face it. Charity's like a really good crier. So she cried, but I felt like they were, you know, in the moment tears and not true. This is so hard, sending you home, and I'm going to second guess myself forever and have regrets. 1000% by next week, my prediction will be when the show starts, she will start the show by saying, "It was really hard sending Aaron home, but I am really confident in 3 men I have here. And I know my husband is here, and I'm just looking forward to spending some more time with them and figuring it out." And, you know, she'll be fine. So, yeah, I, you know, we're going to recap this, but wasn't a whole lot to report. And as usual, this was, you know, one of the more boring, I feel like this was the most boring episode so far. And again, just like my least favorite. So, you know, this might be a short podcast because there's not that much to say. So I'll go ahead and do it anyway, but we start in Houston, Texas, and this is Aaron's hometown. He goes first. Also, I want to say it's always a good sign when the person that you like the most and want her pick goes last, because I feel like it's more often than not that the last person's hometown ends up winning or for sure in the final two. And we love Dotton. Oh my God, I love him even more after this episode. But back to Aaron. She is wearing these cute jeans with a little white tank top and this little like crop, tiny little yellow cardigan. You know what's funny? It was almost like, well, it was, but it wasn't a shrug. It was just a little cute cardigan that I thought was, literally every color looks good on her. I swear to God. But I just, again, love this outfit. It's just, she put shit together like a bachelorette hasn't for a very long time. But then she has on heels with it, which really elevates the look as well. But we get a hooju with Aaron, but it was a standing hooju. So they just walk up to each other and she basically just jumps up, and she's so tiny that I feel like she weighs like 90 pounds, and he's just able to go whoop, whoop, whoop. And she just like wraps her legs right around him and gets the height elevation, is above his head, kissing him. And all she had to do was just jump a little bit, and he just picks her up, puts her on. That was picks her up, puts her on. That's what that was. That was like foreign there for a second. Okay. So then He tells her that it's been 10 years since he's brought a girl home to meet his parents. I always find this strange, and maybe it's coming from a small town, or maybe it's coming from young kids. And these people are like in their mid to late 20s, approaching 30. But I always find it strange that when they say that either they've never brought someone home to meet the parents, or they've only brought like one person home to meet the parents. And I think I've talked about this before, because like when my kids have had, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends, like we've met every single one of them. Like, so I think it's weird that they have not brought them home to meet the parents. But maybe when like you're living away from home in another city, you know, it's like a bigger deal to like bring them home, have them fly. I don't know though. I don't know. I just think it's kind of strange, but you know, I have lived a rural life my entire life. So what the hell do I know? Probably nothing. So that's what he says. It's been 10 years since he brought a girl to meet his parents. And she actually does say at the beginning of the state that they are the furthest behind as far as her relationships with the four guys. She says this in ITM, not to him. And with Aaron, she's meeting mom, dad, two brothers, and a sister-in-law. And this was a cool family. I would totally want to belong to my family. And I could see where this was probably difficult for her more because she really liked the family than Aaron. And I feel like the tears were, man, I would love your mom and dad for in-laws. So I think that's where the tears were coming from, to be perfectly honest. But they made like this good, like Southern sort of meal, I would say, of frog legs and catfish and green beans and gumbo. And for the first time in a really long time, they actually ate. Like they actually showed footage of them eating and chewing and putting food in their mouth and laughing and having like a normal supper. So that was fun. That was really fun. That was like the highlight of the episode. So brother Eric, talks to, what's his name? Aaron. And like tells him, you know, I was looking for this particular look when you walked in. And I felt like if you had this look, then I knew you really were serious about this girl. And of course he got that look that mom and Charity talk. Mom asks like specifically what sets him apart, which is like one of the most common questions asked. And she was pretty specific. Like sometimes they're very general. And I feel like she actually was more general with the other three, but she said he was gentle and passionate, which I guess is not super specific, but it's like more specific than they usually get, because I wouldn't say that the other three weren't gentle. And by passionate, I'm not really, you know, we didn't see that side of Aaron, but okay. So then mom asks her if she's been in love before, and she says yes. And then she tells mom that she's been a girl who's been put in a box her whole life, and she is trying to like get out of that box. And then mom ITMs that she really likes Charity a lot, and she says she's warm and compassionate. So we're getting adjectives. We're, you know, pretty generic adjectives. Mom then asks if she was proposed to today, would she accept? Which was actually a pretty good question. And Charity was honest and says probably not, because she wants to be 100% certain, and she wants to take it completely seriously. And she, you know, can't say that she would 100% know, which mom seemed to respect. Mom ITMs, dad ITMs a whole lot that they really like Charity, and that whatever, they're just giving her compliments all over the place. But then Charity ITMs with like, again, that with the time they have left, she doesn't know if they can get there. So then Charity and dad talk. Dad says it blows his mind that Aaron would be doing something like this, and it's overwhelming, but he trusts him. Meaning he blows his mind he would do the bachelorette. Dad is super nice too. Love him. Just love both of them, the way they articulate themselves, but they're super like seem like grounded people. You don't feel like they're performing whatsoever for the cameras. I felt like they were being very authentic, but just kind of calm, cool, and collected too. Dad likes Charity. He ITMs that. Then dad talks to Aaron, and asks him how it is seeing her date other guys, and obviously says it's hard. Dad compliments her by saying she's sharp and articulate, and then Aaron and his dad had this really nice moment. You know, this is one thing about like these hometown visits that I wonder if there really is some authenticity here, because I think that it might force some families to show their level of sentimentality. Is that a word? Being sentimental with each other and a little bit of emotion and articulating possibly like their love for their parents, or if it's parents like articulating their pride in the kid and things like that. It seems like quite a few times you see that where you know, as a mom, I know that's a real thing when you see your kids in any kind of a position that you know is possibly challenging and difficult for them, whether it's happy or sad, though, that it for me at least, pushes a lot of emotion. And so they have this real emotional moment where they both are crying, and they both tell each other multiple times how much they love each other. And the dad is talking about how proud he is of his son and how he trusts him. And like, it was, and Aaron made a real like quick comment about, you know, I don't say it much. And then he didn't really finish the sentence, but I just like took from that this isn't a typical conversation or a typical like sharing of love that he and his dad usually had, which I think is why both of them were so emotional, because it was like, I don't know. So maybe like that's one advantage about the show is if it does put these families in a position where they're like wanting or needing to show like support for their son or daughter. And it seems odd because it's in front of cameras and for the whole world to see, but I don't know, maybe there's something to that, you know, even if it doesn't work out, maybe if it brings any kind of family closer together, like that's one unexpected sort of advantage or positive thing that can come out of this show other than just ratings and Instagram followers, you know? So then Aaron talks to mom too, and she also tells him how proud she is of him. And she says that Charity is grounded and sweet. And like, I don't know, I just love this family. I thought the brother, they just were really a great family. It was clear that Charity thought so too. So then they're done. And then Aaron takes her to a football field, because I'm guessing that he played football, and he gives her a Letterman jacket that I'm sure he had everything to do with getting. I am sure producers had nothing to do with that. It's actually kind of a cute little Letterman jacket. It had like her name on the back, and it was like this little fun, like cute little like bomber jacket thing. So this is when Aaron finally tells her he's falling in love with her. And then he plays the song on this radio, which was the song that Laura and Elena played on their first one-on-one date. Well, and he had the first one-on-one date. So she's like crying during this, and then they kiss, and he slips her tongue, which is disgusting to see close up on TV. So I turned my head and said, gross. Like, ugh, I hate when they do that. I made a note that I vomited a little bit in my mouth, which is really kind of true. So then, that date's over. So then the next date is in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. So I was kind of wondering whether we would actually go to, Hawaii, because they, you know, on his little Chiron, they always say that Joey's from Hawaii. He's a tennis trainer pro in Hawaii, but they didn't. They went to his hometown of Collegeville, Pennsylvania. And she's got this beautiful, just super simple, like yellow. It's like a deep yellow though. Just a knit, like a knit ribbed tank dress that is like midi level or midi length. Really pretty. Again, so beautiful on her skin tone. So he says he has someplace special to take her, which is to tennis courts. And he gives her a little tennis outfit as a gift. And she comes out and he gives her, like, again, gives her the tennis outfit. Probably just, you know, producers have to say, this is what size she is. What color do you want? We'll go get it. So he gives her tennis lessons and we have someone surprise him and show up who Someone shows up, surprises him. It's Uncle Joe. Turns out Uncle Joe like coached him in tennis and they're real close. Uncle Joe played tennis obviously himself too. And like, so he says he's really, really close with his Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe, I have to say, seems pretty cool. I really liked Uncle Joe a lot. He was also not like showy in front of the cameras, but he seemed like also pretty authentic. I feel like I overuse that word, but he did. Like he seemed like he was just being himself. He seemed like he was a fun guy to hang around with, but not overly like obnoxious or anything. It was a cool guy. And he ITMs after their little meeting, because then he like gives her lessons too, whatever. And he ITMs after they met that he just detected something that he couldn't quite put his finger on, but he just detected something a little off. So we know that there's going to be, again, we're going to start the narrative that, you know, Joey's going to be the one to go home to try and trick us. So, so then Joey and Charity go off and talk a little bit again by themselves after the tennis lesson and before the meetup with his parents. And they talk again about interracial, that topic again, that comes up. So, you know, and I feel like at this point, when Uncle Joe said that, there is something like awkward with the two of them. And maybe I'm just saying this, maybe it just put it in my head when Uncle Joe said it, but it does seem like Joey is like too nice and maybe they all seem too nice, but it's like he's just like saying all the right things and that she's almost like a nervous giddy with him, not like a true, like, oh, I just so much enjoy your company. But at this point, she was really only saying about him that she thinks she's falling in love with him. So I don't know. Maybe Uncle Joe is just like getting in my head. Uncle Joe, what are you doing? They go to Joey's house. They meet mom, dad, Uncle Joe is there, two sisters and a brother-in-law. And dad makes a toast. Charity and the sister go talk. And she asked Charity what made Joey stand out. Same kind of question. This one was that she feels comfortable with him and they bring out the best in each other. I mean, come on, Charity. You've had a lot of good talks with us before this. Like, let's use some more descriptive, meaningful, descriptions of these guys. Like, they bring out the best in each other. So, like, not to say that doesn't mean the other ones don't, but is that what that means? Like, I don't know. The sister is talking about how she's really protective and asks. So this was a super common theme tonight. And one that I frequently annoys me, as everyone who listens to this podcast knows, and it is how more and more every single season it becomes the accepted like bachelor lingo to specifically reference. It convinces me that the producers ask this of them, because even the mom, Dotton's mom from Nigeria, was saying these things, and you cannot tell me with her culture that it's the same. Like, I just don't believe it. I just don't. That she was using the same terminology of, you think you're falling in love with him? Are you falling in love with him? Are you in love with him? No one talks like that. No one says that in real life. No one categorizes their relationship based on these three categories. Can you see yourself falling in love with him? Are you falling in love with him? Or are you in love with him? No one does that. No one does that. And I hate how they have started making every single family ask that question. And I believe in tonight's dates, every single person in some form or fashion asked that question. Like, what level are you at, basically? Or have you told them yet? Or do you see yourself? Like, no, that is not. Cut that out. There's probably hours and hours of film. Why do you cut that little part out and make us see that every time? I don't want to see that. I want to see some real questions being asked, not these stupid ass levels of love. But she does. The sister says, asks if she's falling in love with him. And Charity says yes, because she has classified herself as doing that to even us. Mom and Joey talk, and they talk about the interracial relationship thing. The mom was like, boy, she was like super, super emotional. And I couldn't really tell where she was coming from. She seemed a little like, a little everywhere. I don't know. She was hard to understand and hard to relate to, and seemed too upset or something. But it was like, I guess she doubted the process, which I mean, like, she should, but she was like doubting the process and was scared of his heart being broken. But it was very clear that he was definitely promoting the process, believing in the process, hardcore in favor of the process. And you know what I mean when I say the process, and that just means the show, really. But mom got very, she was teary eyed the whole time, cried at the end. Like she, I felt like she was like, I do not want you to be in this position. So then he talks to Uncle Joe, and Uncle Joe says, Joey talks to Uncle Joe, and Joe says that she's cool, but he says, you didn't seem really as comfortable as I thought you were trying to feel like. And he's worried that Joey's not being himself and is trying to be just who she wants him to be. And I was very glad that Uncle Joe pointed this out, because he sort of articulated what maybe is happening actually. It was clear too that Uncle Joe kind of doubts the process, but was, you know, going along with it for the sake of Joey. But he wants him to be sure it's real. So then Uncle Joe and Charity talk, and she asks Uncle Joe if he thinks that Joey's ready to be a husband and a father. And he said, basically just, I don't know. Like, I don't know. He repeated it like 3 times. And then he articulates to Charity this concern that he said that Joey did this even with him, and that he's known Joey his whole life. And so he's seen this sort of fault, if you will, in him, about him always wanting to please people. So being what everyone wants him to be and not being his true self, and that he was actually that way with Uncle Joe, and that, you know, he had to sort of force him out of that and make him be himself. And he asks her if she feels like she's getting the real Joey. And, you know, she says, I mean, from what I can see, I mean, he seemed consistently genuine and has seemed consistently the same. But she said, you know, you know him a lot better than I do. So, I mean, it's a fair question, but in a way it's not a fair question, because she only knows what she sees. And if he's been consistently the same, that's good. But if he's been consistently just what he thinks he thinks she'll like, who knows? Okay. So anyway, so this concerns her. She's ITMs about how this confused her. And she had before this said that if things went perfectly, she was going to tell Joey that she was falling in love with him. Well, things, in her words, went good, but they didn't go great. So when they finish with the meeting with the parents, they go sit on the very purposefully placed bench right outside the house and sit down and talk. And he does tell her he's falling in love with her again, but she does not tell him in return. And he walks her to the car, and she's like crying the whole time. And as she leaves, he's saying, like, usually when we leave each other, I feel super confident about it. And she said it was happy tears, but it didn't seem like happy tears. And so now he's confused and he's doubting himself. Okay, I'm going to cut away, and I will be right back for the second half. Bye. Okay, so next we go to Cleveland, and this is Xavier, and she is wearing a black dress with a pink moto jacket and boots. Again, stunning, simple, yet classy, cute as can be. She does a slight running hooju with Xavier, Definitely gets the height above the waist, just like always. And because she's so teensy, teensy, tiny that all I have to do is lift her up with their little pinky finger and she's like around them. Okay. So then he starts the date with like the away from the family part of the date, and they go knitting. So he takes her to this like little knitting shop where they get their yarn and he teaches her how to knit, but there's other people there too. And they're all sitting around the table and they're telling knitting stories and whatever. I guess it's really fun. It's fine. So she ITMs that she likes seeing this wholesome side of Xavier. Then they go to a coffee shop and, you know, she's always had these second guesses about Xavier because I guess he comes across a little bit like her ex, and she's not just sure she can completely like trust that he's as feeling the same way as she is, and just that he's ready that completely to get propose to her, whatever. She's got doubts. That was short. I didn't go into much detail there. So they go to his house, they meet mom, dad, and then his sister. As a reminder, his mom has MS, which is why he said he's went into like the medical field. They're like giving compliments to each other all over the place to the parents. Then sister and Charity go talk. And again, this is where sister specifically asks if she's falling in love or if she's in love. Drives me nuts. I wish Charity be like, I don't really know that I would classify it as one of those, because I feel like I'm somewhere in between. So anyway, Charity asks if the sister thinks that he's ready, and she says he's just looking for someone to give him love and support and find his person. I don't know. We get all this with blah blah blah, this all this general stuff. We don't learn really anything new about any of these people. Charity tells mom that she again asked the question, what made him stand out? So apparently Xavier was gentle and they can be themselves with each other. Okay. She asks mom the same thing. And, same thing, meaning, do you think he's ready to be married? And she says, she just fears how quick this whole process is. So she's doubting the process just a little bit. But they sort of cut that part of the conversation short. Like it just kind of ends and it doesn't, I don't know. They edited that real weird because I don't know. I just didn't really understand how that. This is so hard to recap. Sorry. I'm trying to like make a big deal out of all these conversations, and really it's just the same. Okay. Dad tells Xavier that he doesn't want this to be frivolous. Dad tells him he sees a connection and she's very, very nice. PITMs though, that he's not sure it's love. So then Xavier tells mom that he's ready to propose to her, because they're like doubting, are you truly ready? Are you truly ready? Just, you know, same thing as Charity starting to feel. But they all love Charity, but are worried about his heart, as is every set of parents that ever existed on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. So then Charity and Xavier sit outside. This was, I feel like, by far like the least sort of like impactful meeting with the parents. I don't know. So they sit outside and he very intentionally tells her he's falling in love with her again. Okay. Like it was very much like they sat down and he was like, you know, how did that go? That went really well, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, Charity, I want to tell you that I'm falling in love with you. You know, like ding, ding, ding. It felt like the little slot machine bells went off, like ding, 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 ding. Oh, you jumped to the next level. Great. Like, oh, you said the word. So that really is impactful and means so much in this game. Okay, we're done with that one. So then we get to my favorite date, as you may guess, but it was Dotton's family. And I actually think this would be the family to be a part of. Grandma was amazing. And this date made me cry. If you did not see, it starts out, so it's Fresno, California. Also, she has this red dress on. I didn't like really super love the style of this dress. It like buttoned up the front and had kind of this like weight that almost looked like a built-in belted waist, and then had like little ties, I guess, on the sleeves. I mean, it was weird. I liked it. I love the color. I love the flowiness of it, but it was just kind of a strange structure to me. But it looks stunning on her as usual. He tells her that his parents unfortunately will not be there because every year for about 4 to 6 weeks, they go to visit Nigeria. So she's very sort of obvious about her disappointment that she's not going to meet the parents. And she's being very intentional, or at least they edit it in very intentionally, how meeting the parents she thinks is so important. And she was really looking forward to it and how disappointed she was. But they actually tricked me. I really didn't know what was going to happen here. Maybe I'm naive, but I didn't. So then, she was going to meet all his brothers and sisters. So I think it looked to me like it was two brothers and two sisters. I don't know if any of them were wives or husbands, but that's what it looked like. But she also gets to meet grandma, who was just hilarious and so cute. And she was cooking, and she was like, she said something in the Nigerian language that she feels like that she was sent from heaven or something to that effect. Super cute. But so then they were all sitting outside just talking, and Dotton looks over, and he was like, no, I really feel like this was authentic surprise. So kudos to the producers for bringing mom and dad back from Nigeria to be able to be on this date. I don't know if Dotton and Charity knew that it was going to happen, but it really, really did not appear that they knew. It appeared like a real surprise. And the surprise like truly made me cry, because Dotton was like so overwhelmed with like being touched that, you know, they would cut their Nigerian trip short, that's important to them, obviously, to come all the way back to the States to be at this meeting. So oh my God, it was just so cute, but I did totally cry. But yeah, that was so neat. His mom was stunning. I thought she was stunning. And so mom and Dotton talk, and she sort of questions the press. This is why it seems strange. She just didn't seem like the kind of mom that would know two shits about The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, or how it works. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she's a longtime watcher. I don't know. But it does seem like he went on the show very, very last minute. Like that's what he said in the past. So I really strongly feel that the producers are like, look, this is how it works. You're going to have to ask these different things. You have to like ask about if he's falling in love or if he's in love. And you have to sort of like, if you have any questions about the process, go ahead and verbalize that, you know, and use the word process. So stupid. So she does question the process a little bit. And then she wants to know too, if he's falling in love or if he's in love. Give me a break. She says also she's concerned with him getting hurt. But I swear with the accent, it just sounds so cool. I didn't even mind it when she said it because she had the Nigerian accent and it just sounded cool. So then Charity's talking with sister, asks her whether she's seeing the real Dotton. So now she's paranoid about what Uncle Joe said about Joey. So she's wondering how the other guys are. So, am I seeing the real Dotton? The sister's like 100%. Charity then asks dad whether she thinks Dotton would be ready to propose. He says, yes. So then mom asks where she is with Dotton now, and Charity like starts crying. Mom says so I just feel like she's picking Dotton because I feel like the emotion she showed. Oh God, if she doesn't pick Dotton, I'm telling you, I am going to be so massively disappointed and shocked as well. I mean, truly will be shocked if she doesn't pick him. And my guess is that next week, if Dotton wins, they are definitely going to make us question him in some form or fashion. Like they are definitely going to do that to get us again to like supposedly throw us off course. So that's my prediction. But either way, she gets emotional. The mom is like, oh my gosh, like if you guys decide to get married, you're going to come to, I'm going to bring you to Nigeria where I'm going to give you this big, beautiful wedding. And they hug and they cry. Then they say goodbye, and grandma is hugging her and telling her how much she loves her and stuff. It was just like, oh my God, the best family. And how could she not pick that man and that family? So then they have this like, there's this Thunderbird car sitting out in the driveway when they come walking around. Again, she seems surprised at least. And He takes her for a ride. I also think they got by far the best date. He takes her for a ride. They go to a drive-in theater and they are shown a video, like a movie of themselves. First it was Dotton, then it was Charity, like when they're kids, and then them together from the show. And she's like bawling and he's totally going to win. He's got to win, please. Okay. So then we are back in LA. Charity sits down with Jesse. Basically all this is a total recap of every single date where we practically learn nothing except that we're still being, driven to believe that she, like she sounds the most doubtful about Joey in this description to Jesse of each date. So again, that's who we're supposed to believe he's going home. But I even made a note that it's, I think we're supposed to think it's Joey going home, but because of that, I don't think he is. So I made that note because it's like too much almost at this point. We get them all getting ready for the rose ceremony. It's rose ceremony time. It takes place at an airplane hangar, which I thought was, I mean, like why? They had this like fancy airplane set up in the background with like this like old time luggage. And it was just, I don't know. It was weird. Why, I don't understand why they had it at an airplane hangar. Unless I missed it. Unless I missed the reason for it. So she's got a freaking gorgeous, beautiful, black, sparkly dress on that cuts way, way high on the leg. She has a, like a fur wrap on, which I thought was super cute when she came out of her limo and walked up to Jesse. She says she thinks she knows what she's doing and that she's okay. And she takes off the wrap and gives it to Jesse to hold and walks in with, you know, her badass self and her badass dress. So she gives the roses away in this order. It's Dotton first. Yes. Xavier second. And drumroll, yep, Joey is third. Aaron B goes home. She walks him out. Like, it just feels like, I said this already, she just didn't, I mean, she cried, but, and he kind of like, I feel like he did the fake kind of cry thing at the end, like gave like the cry face and like acted like he was kind of like wiping his eyes, but there were no tears there. I think she can cry the drop of a hat. So she cries, but I don't get like the true feeling that she really cares all that much. She sends him home. She acts like in her ITM that she's totally second guessing it and that she's going to have all this regret. But as we spoke before, it ain't going to happen. The next show is going to start. She's going to be totally confident in her decision, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, so that was it. In the previews, we get it's Fantasy Suites and it's in Fiji. She tells someone like at, looks like what's at the date, or somewhere on a one-on-one date, that she is in love with them. So she tells someone she's in love with them. And then they show these surprises. She can't believe this is happening. It's only a week till they get engaged. What else could happen? Then we get that same preview of somebody coming in that she's totally shocked by, saying he isn't supposed to be there. I don't know if this is going to be her brother? Is it, who's this going to be? It's not going to be, I really don't think it's going to be a past guy. It doesn't, like the previews don't make it seem like she's, now this confuses her more. She just keeps talking about how he shouldn't be here. And I can't believe this, like, I can't believe he's here. So I don't know. It's, yeah, again, I'm sure it's a teaser, you know, to get us to watch. And obviously I will. But then, yeah, that was it, except for the last little, like, I always say blooper reel, the little tag at the end. It's of Dotton's mom giving Charity these gifts, and it was like a bracelet and necklace and then like a dress. And then there was some kind of beaded belt thing. And she said, but it's only supposed to be used in the bedroom. And Charity was like, okay, that's great. And it was an awkward moment and kind of funny and kind of cute. Yeah. So that was it. There we have it. It was less than an hour recap, and I'm not sorry about it because it was just hometowns. So next week, hopefully it'll be at the right time. I will release on Tuesday morning. My parents are coming up to visit. Yay. So they're coming on Tuesday. So for sure, I want to get this in before they come. But I am going to, so yeah, so I'll release it next Tuesday, and it will be fantasy suites or overnights, however you want to say it, or sex week, as Zach coined it. Okay. I am going to select a Bible verse, and I think it's going to be the one that I looked at today on my Bible app. It's okay. It is Psalm 59 verse 16. And it is, "But as for me, I will sing about your power. Each morning I will sing with joy about your unfailing love, for you have been my refuge, a place of safety when I am in distress." So I hope you all have a great weekend, and I'll actually be talking to you in just a few days. So thanks for tuning in. Please go give me a 5-star rating. Someone told me that they tried to review on Apple Podcasts and couldn't figure it out. So I'm going to take a look at that. I actually just reminded myself of that when I'm saying the words into my microphone. I'm going to check that out. But whatever platform you listen to, if you could at least give me a 5-star rating or hit the follow, subscribe button, tell your friends, I would truly appreciate it. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.